Hey, everyone. I'm your host, Carl Bohm, and you are listening to the Spiral Marketing Podcast, Episode 15. Now, this show isn't at all religious, but the concept of faith comes up occasionally, as it does in this episode. The mentions weren't controversial. What is striking is the relationship between the confidence to push oneself beyond their limits and a belief in some higher power or greater mission. Today's episode is really about how to be a champion. Everyone wants to perform at a higher level, and today's topic, the power of mindset, is used by arguably all of our greatest achievers and athletes. Today's guest will help you consider how to apply the power of mindset into your work.
What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
Krista DeBoss is an investor, entrepreneur, lifelong Angeleno, and real estate agent. Krista won the Keller Williams 2014 Top Residential and Top Luxury Agent of the Year. She is in the top 1% of her industry and was selected to serve on the Associate Leadership Council in her market center in 2015. She is also a public speaker who talks about leveraging the power of mindset in leadership, entrepreneurship, and in building wealth through real estate. Full disclosure and a bit of housekeeping, Krista and I began this call through her phone and very quickly realized that the sound quality wasn't going to be there, so we continued on Skype. Now, you'll hear that in the very beginning of the episode for, I think, around 30 seconds. Krista has a great quote right in the beginning of the bad audio portion, so I wanted to make sure to capture that, and then it clears up. All right, enjoy.
I think the power of mind overall is being in a place where you have the mentality that you are going to achieve the things that you set out to achieve. And it's having faith in place of fear. And that's something that you have to work at every day. It's important to be in a place where you're allowing growth.
So you said having faith in place of fear.
Yeah.
I think it is important to me because it depends on the faith component of it is pretty subjective. So it depends on what faith means to you. To some people, faith is belief in a higher power and a deity. And to other people, it means some people don't have that sort of faith structure and they believe in abundance and they believe in opportunity, but that's also a faith. So I think it's the faith that you will accomplish whatever the end result is over the fear that you won't get it accomplished or a fear that stands in your way.
Interesting. When did you first learn about the power of mindset?
I first learned about, that's a really good question. And I think that I first learned about it as a kid, but I didn't really understand the importance of it until much later. I think that I experienced a lot of opportunities and a lot of issues that probably would have been better had I had a stronger mindset, or areas where things were going really well or business was going really well and I had a great mindset. But I think that I never really thought of it that way until I got into sales.
Okay. And what did that look like? What was the story there?
I think probably the first time in business that mindset meant a lot to me was, or when I realized that mindset was such an important component to accomplishing my goals, was when one of the first businesses that I owned, and in a way it was sort of an events business, but it was basically bringing people together. And we had a pretty lofty goal, my partner and I, and we ended up really thriving in that because we didn't really have any fear. And then when we tried to do it a little bit later, there were a lot of hurdles because we were thinking too much. We were thinking about, what if this happens? What if that happens? I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. What if this person says this? Or what if, you know, we step on somebody's toes? And when we were doing it initially, we just didn't have any fear. We were just doing. And I think when it relates to real estate, it's a little bit of the same thing. It's when I'm not thinking about it and I'm just doing, the opportunity is there. When I'm thinking about what if, what if, what if, it just sort of says to the universe, I don't really want opportunity right now. I'm not ready for it. And it doesn't come.
It probably affects your performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a big part of my day. Getting myself in the right mindset is a huge part of my day.
And well, let's talk about that. What does that process look like, if you don't mind?
Sure. It starts with, if I go to the gym early in the morning, which is the goal, which is 5 a.m., I wake up at 4. If I wake up at 4, then I listen to either an inspirational song or I'll read something that is really influential to me. I'll read maybe my Bible, or I'll read something, an excerpt from a book that means something to me, or something to start the day off in the right way. And that used to be thinking of 5 things that I was grateful for every morning. And I think I need to get back into that. Then I go to the gym at 5. At 7:30, I have a role play call, which is basically a call where we go over our scripts and our what we need to go over for the day. It's a group of about 10 people. And my real estate coach, I believe in coaching. It's really helped me in my business. And I think that it's a huge component of the mindset process for me. At 8 o'clock, I do a call from 8 to 9 that's surrounded primarily around mindset. I mean, there are different topics. It's topical day by day, but mindset's the key component of it.
Just curious, does your coach push mindset as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think my coach, to be perfectly honest, all coaches pretty much sell mindset. That's really what they do. That's what they coach to. You know, Tony Robbins and all of these coaches, they're not telling you how to do your job. They're not telling you, you know, how to sell things or how to persuade people one way or another. They're really coaching to mindset.
Right. They're trying to get you in the right headspace.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, yeah. I want to tie it back in to building wealth and selling real estate, maybe in a nutshell.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I mean, is it really just as simple as setting the intention and doing what you think is right? How would we frame this up, do you think?
Well, I think it's a journey. You don't wake up one day and say, some people do, and I have in the past, woken up one day and said, this is what I'm going to do. And then you set out to get it done. Some people do, and some people have that drive, or they have something, a switch turns on, and they say, okay, I'm tired of this. So this is the outcome that I want, and this is what I'm going to do to make it happen. Other people sort of work at it consistently, and it makes a big difference. I mean, look at Donald Trump now, when you see him doing his debates and getting into politics, and you sort of get a glimpse of a guy who has a really, really high opinion of himself, which is, you know, not a bad thing. And you don't have any doubt that he believes in what he's saying that he's going to do. And whether you like Donald Trump or not, that's not what I'm saying.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is that it sort of gives you a really good idea of how he feels about himself and how he feels about what he's going to accomplish and how confident he is in his ability to do that.
And that's interesting. So it sort of gets you into his mindset on how he's been and become so successful.
Right. Yeah. You talk to a lot of really successful people. You talk about, you know, the top 1% of the economy and the top earners and the top businesses in the country. And you think, what are the things that made your business what it is? And a lot of them will say it's having a great mindset and it's coming from a place of contribution and giving as opposed to saying, what can I get? So I think that's a big part of mindset as well. I mean, when you think about what's most important about a business, is it earning money or is it making sure that your clients and your customers are happy and that you're doing the best job that you possibly can and you're representing them in the best way that you can and you're doing what you say that you're going to do so that that will yield ultimately more business, but so that you're being ethical in your business practices And, you know, to me, that's more important. I mean, yes, I own a business. My business is profitable. We're in the business of being profitable, but we're not in the business of selling people things. And, you know, we're not in the business of selling real estate. We're in the business of making sure that our clients are represented in the best way that we can possibly represent them. And that's where we strive for excellence. That's how our business is different from some other businesses.
That's great. Okay. And for somebody who may not be as accustomed to a mindset as a tool to leverage, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that there's a huge parallel with them and potential new recruits. So you run a business, you have staff, you've hired staff. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that they can be taught mindset, or do you think that you need to seek out people who already have the mindset or some combination?
I seek positive people. Mm-hmm. I seek people who have an I will, I can, I am mindset. It's on a case-by-case basis. There's no set criteria for this person is going to be more coachable than another person is when it comes to mindset. But I think I look for team players and I look for positivity. And then, you know, when I first interview somebody, I give them the one thing to read, which is a book by Gary Keller, which is about focusing on the one thing that's most important. And I think the key question in that book is, what is the one thing that I can do in which by doing so, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically the question. And if I've interviewed them twice, then I'll give them that book. And if they read it, and, you know, I'll ask them, I hope that they read it. If they do read it, I ask them questions and ask them what they thought of it and whether they believe that they're going to employ that and what they do. And then we go from there.
Interesting. What if a staff member or a friend, a partner, somebody that you're close to who had a good mindset, I suppose this could go for yourself too, but what if that person falls out of the right mindset? Is there a process that you go through to get them back on track?
You know what? It's really a process of filling your head with the right things and being in the right headspace. Sometimes you go through really challenging circumstances that pull you out of a good mindset. They sort of pull you in a place where you get really frustrated. And I think that it all comes back to faith over fear. And if you have faith and it's more powerful than the fear, then that sort of overshadows everything else that becomes a problem. And I think, at least for me in my life, when I'm And I guess I would say in a rut, when I'm in a situation where I feel like I don't have control over the situation and there's no clarity for me, I get into a sticky mindset area. And so it's really about, for me, making sure that everything is really simple and everything is really transparent in everything that I do, personal mm-hmm. and professional. And that I'm in a happy place in all of those areas. Otherwise, it sort of starts to drag on you. And I think that that's probably the theme with colleagues as well, when they kind of fall out of the mindset that they get it done sort of mentality. And it ultimately has to come down to, yes, I'm afraid of these things, but my desire to want to be better is greater or more powerful than the fear I have of not doing them or not doing them well, or, you know, the fear of failure or the fear of success. I see them as the same thing. It just depends on what it is, but it ultimately for me comes back down to faith over fear.
Interesting. Okay. What do you think has been the most powerful tool or most powerful experience to help you feel like you have cleared this obstacle? Have you successfully integrated mindset into your life and your business?
Yeah, I think just following a routine. Routine is really challenging for me because I'm not a person who enjoys routine.
Me neither.
Yeah. I think you find a lot of athletes, people who have been in the military, people who are used to a routine and they're used to doing something, whether they want to do it or not, it just has to get done because it's a means to an end. Those people really succeed in sales because they do the things that they don't necessarily want to do, but they do them because they know they need to get done. And you see that in a lot of athletes who go to the gym every day. They don't want to be at the gym every day, but they're there because that's what they need to do to get to where they want to be. When I first got into residential sales, because I was in commercial for a little while, mm-hmm. I took maybe a 7-week course or an 8-week course, and it's specific to my company. It's all about mindset, really, and it's about habit. And they tell you at the end of that class, I think in a session before the final session, they say, write a letter to yourself, and we're going to mail it to our headquarters, and we're going to mail it back to you in a year. And the letter is supposed to say what you're going to accomplish in the next year, how much money you're going to make, what you're going to, you know, the things that you're going to accomplish over the next 12 months. And you know what? I think actually I lied. I think it was in the middle of the year. And I think what the question was asking was, what are you going to accomplish next year? So I was thinking by the beginning of the following year. And so it was really more like 6 months. What are you going to accomplish in the next 6 months?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I sort of forgot what I wrote, but I knew a little bit about it. I forgot the rest. When I got the letter back, it said that my business was going to do a certain number, which was sort of astronomical comparatively to what the business had done so far year to date. It wasn't a bad number. It was just maybe triple or quadruple the number that we had already done.
Just 300%, huh?
Right. It was about 300%.
Very nice.
So that was on there. There is a board of directors in my company that's specific to each office, to each market center. I said that I was going to get a nomination to that. There were a couple other things. I think buy an investment property was on there. And I ended up doing 600% more than what I said I was going. I mean, it was, I said 300 times more and ended up being 600. No, it was really, nice. It was really 3 times more and then ended up being 6 times more. So I closed out the year doing that. And then I did get an ALC nomination, which was the board of directors from my market center. And I did end up buying an investment property by the end of the year. And I forgot about those questions. I forgot that I wrote it down. I forgot that I mailed it out. I sort of knew about it, but I just wasn't thinking about it. And it was just sort of the power of putting it out there and saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. These are really the thoughts that I'm thinking. This is my internal goal. And this is what I'm aiming towards right now.
And congratulations. That's
thank
awesome.
Thank you. Thanks. And so that was kind of where I said, okay, well, there's something to this mindset stuff. Before that, I never really believed in doing a vision board and all of those things. A lot of people think, oh, vision boarding, that sounds really that sounds like a girl's art project.
Cutting up magazines and all that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it works.
That's good. Well, I think that setting an intention and creating vision boards and all that, that probably falls really well in line with goal setting. You know, you're literally, you're just imagining more of what your goal is and visualizing what is necessary in order for that to happen and what those results will look like.
Well, look, I mean, everybody makes, what do you do at the end of the year or in the third quarter for the next year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you plan. Absolutely.
You make a business plan. Yeah, everybody makes a business plan. Some people do it in the middle of the year and they do it at the end of the, or in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. Some people do it quarterly.
Sure.
But you make a business plan for what your business is going to do or where you want to go in your business in the next year. And it doesn't really mean anything unless you believe that you're going to get there and you're going to do the things that you need to do to get there.
Right. Well, I want to skip back a second because you were talking about something. I wanted to explore something before that I think will be new to a lot of people.
Sure.
So you referenced former athletes. Now, do you actually seek out former athletes as staff and partners?
Yeah, I do.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. I seek people out, not necessarily former athletes, but sometimes military, sometimes people who are not either athletes or military, but just have that drive to do something every day. They just have a consistent demeanor about them. They do things consistently. They show up on time. They call when they say they're going to call. They get things to you when they say they're going to get things to you. those are really good indicators of a lot of other things. And because I have a hard time doing these things. I was not, you know, I've been an athlete at different parts of my life, but I've always struggled with doing the things that I need to do to get to the next level. It doesn't come naturally for me. It's something that I have to work at every day. Some people don't have to work at it as hard as I do, but I have to work at it. And I'd like to work with people who don't have to work at it as hard as I do, if possible. And a lot of those people are people who have consistently done it their whole lives. And, you know, like I said, some people have never been an athlete, never been in the military. They just happen to be the kinds of people who are consistently doing things that they don't necessarily want to do, but they do them. People who've been employed for a really long time at the same place, or it's not a formula. You know, sometimes you don't see any of those things and they end up being great. But in the people that I've interviewed in the past, those are the things that I look for.
I think that's a fascinating insight. What resource for insight and inspiration on this topic of mindset do you recommend for growth?
There are a lot of books that coach on mindset. There are a lot of industries that only coach to mindset, and thriving enterprises. I think that that's a good one. It is about mindset, but it's really about focusing on doing one thing in your business or in your personal life or whatever, that it's about keeping it simple. And I think that it starts at mindset, and all of these other things sort of are components of it. They're puzzle pieces. There's a really good book called Miracle Morning that I've been telling people about because I really like it. That one's really good. I've heard of that.
What, is it like a workbook?
No. You know what? There might be a workbook component to it. I'm going to be honest. I read it on audiobooks because I love audiobooks and I do them often.
Me too. Yeah.
It's basically about, you know, he wakes up. He had a near-death experience. He wakes up at 4 a.m. and he gets everything done before 8. So by 8, everything is done.
Wow.
And it's transformed. Everything important gets done. He talks about how it's transformed his life. And that's powerful to me. When I think about when I get the most done, I think about when I wake up early. And it's not just about waking up early. It's about being in a place and in a time where everything is really calm. And it's before kind of the whirlwind starts. And I think about what it takes to be successful. It's doing the things that other people are not willing to do. And when I look at the people that are at the gym at 5 a.m. and they get there before I do, and I think, gosh, you know, this is pretty amazing. And so I get reminded really early in the morning about what I'm really focused on and what I really need to be focused on. And that's really important to me. I don't do it every day. It's not something that, and I need to get in the habit of doing it every day again.
It's got to be so hard to sustain.
It can be because, you know, what happens at 8 or 9 o'clock? People want to go out to happy hour. You want to go out to dinner. You want a life outside of work.
Right.
And if you're in bed by 10 o'clock at night, that sort of makes it a little difficult. So, you know, it's discipline light. Doing it a few days a week is sort of is a good way to wean into it if it's for you. There are a lot of books. There are a lot of workshops I've done. I believe in coaching. I think coaching is really important for me. I've done a few different Tony Robbins type things. I have not done Tony Robbins, but I hear he's great.
How did you find your coach?
He does a monthly workshop in LA, and I was invited to a workshop by a colleague of mine. And the speaker that he had invited was a woman who I think she's been in real estate now about 10 years, but at the time she had been in real estate for about 8 years and she had sold $300 million in real estate. I think she sold Wow. $33 million in real estate her first year in residential real estate. Incidentally, I did 24 and I didn't even think about it.
Nice.
But yeah. But this woman is, she's a rock star in every component of what she does in her business. She overcame MS and just has a really cool story. But that was sort of my first glimpse into what coaching was like as far as real estate was concerned. And I think I sort of followed him for about a year and I did certain parts of the coaching, but not all of it. And then I realized that I wanted to do that full time. And at the time, I was still coaching with somebody from my market center for my company. So I was in coaching the entire time for real estate. At least I either had a mentor or a coach. But the coach that I have now, it was something that I studied for a long time, and I studied his clients, and I really educated myself on what it was that he does and his style before I move forward.
That's great. Well, it's funny. I think we were talking about having mindset as a centerpiece or maybe even a bridge for selling real estate and building wealth. But it's funny that that's been such a small part of this conversation. And I have a feeling it's because those two other things are specialities, but mindset, it's not specific to selling real estate or building wealth through real estate. And So it's just kind of funny that we've barely talked about that. Is there any kind of minimal bridge that you'd like to touch on?
It's really not specific to real estate. If I was doing anything else, I would be doing the same things.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of components of it that relate to what you do in marketing and what a lot of different industries sort of have in common. No, I don't think that it's specific to real estate. I think that it's specific to being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's specific to excellence in your industry. I don't think that, you know, everybody could use a good mindset and a positive mindset. But if you're, you know, happy where you're at, you don't necessarily have a hunger for growth and you don't really want to get to the next level, it's not going to be as important to you as it is to somebody who's constantly wanting to get to that next level because you're constantly being tested every day.
Yes. Are there any other leaders that you admire in the space?
In the space?
You mentioned Tony Robbins and then I asked a question, but it sounds like he's one of them.
I don't really know a ton about Tony Robbins. I do, you know, I've watched some of his videos. I've never been in a Tony Robbins coaching. My coach is Steve Shull, who's excellent. And I think in this space, there are a lot of people who I admire who are in my industry, who are real estate agents. But outside of that, I look to leaders who I think have done really great things with their businesses. I'm going back to Donald Trump. He's done amazing things with his business. Steve Jobs. Apple has done a really good job of focusing on one thing at a time. They do, and it's actually in the book, The One Thing. I feel like I'm pitching Gary Keller's books right now. But that's not what I'm doing. But, you know, they focus on one thing at a time. They focus on the iPad, then they focus on the iPod, then they focus on the Apple Watch. They have a lot of products that are in their arsenal of things that they do really, really well, but they focus on one at a time. And, you know, obviously Steve Jobs and the way that he was an innovator, and Margaret Thatcher and the way that she was a leader. And, you know, there are just a lot of people that I think have done amazing things. And you look at what they've done and you got to think, how was this all possible? You know, and I'm fascinated by that.
Love it. All right. Well, I know I'm keeping you a little bit over here. Are there any other tips that you'd like to recommend? Or do you feel like we've covered it pretty well?
You've asked some really excellent questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think as far as the tips are concerned, it's really important to sit down and ask yourself the questions that what's getting in your way. And if your mindset is not in the right place, why is it not in the right place? What am I afraid of? Where am I fearful as opposed to where do I fear as opposed to have faith? What am I doing with my life right now? What do I want to be doing? And there are a lot of questions that you just sort of don't ask. And you need to get to that place where you feel like it's manageable, because there are a lot of things that take a lot of time to shift, and it takes a lot of time to say, okay, well, this is not right here and this is not right there. So I think overall it never ends, and it's a process, and it's something that you really have to want. You have to want to have a good mindset about what it is that you want to accomplish and about life, and to be positive. And we all know people who they walk into a room and you get excited and you go, oh, this person's here. And 90% of the time it's because they're really positive.
And I know I have a former neighbor who I'm still very good friends with, who walks in the room and makes everybody happy. And the reason is that just really, really positive mindset. And it doesn't have anything to do with the business aspect of it or any of that, really. It's just about the way that you make people feel when they're in a business transaction with you. And a lot of that has to do with your mindset, because if you feel awful, you can't really convey that.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to want to work with you.
Yeah, generally. That's true too. Right.
This has been fantastic. What's the next big project for you?
Gosh, next big project, I just took on an agent. I'm growing the business, and it's been a little challenging. It's been a little trial and error when it comes to real estate. But I think the next big thing is to really dominate the market that I'm in and grow the team.
Nice.
And then move on to other markets.
So you're in the Pacific Palisades now.
Yes. Pacific Palisades, Malibu, Santa Monica.
Awesome. What's the best place for listeners to learn more and to reach you?
The best way to reach me is my cell phone. Can I get that out on?
Sure. If you like, absolutely.
310-975-4306. I'm not on really social media. I need to be. You know, the business page on Facebook, company's LA Coastal Digs, but I think that's something you might be able to help me with, Carl, as far as the social media is concerned.
Be happy to help. Yeah, I almost said yet. You're not on social media yet.
Yet. And my website is, I have KristaDeBoss.com and KristaSellsLA.com.
Beautiful. Well, I'm sure that you will overcome all of those obstacles and dominate.
Yeah, with your help.
Be happy to help. Thank you.
Perfect.
Krista, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Carl. It was a blast.
You might not have the luxury of as many former athletes as Malibu, California, but you can definitely seek people with similar characteristics as well as foster those traits in yourself. I asked Krista for a famous quote to help solidify the point on the power of mindset, and here's the quote that she sent that we'll close on from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Thanks for listening, folks. Cheers.